We are on Peches Amud Aleph. We're up to the 16th line by the two dots. These are some pretty famous Gemaras, pretty famous Agadata about Matan Torah. So the Gemara starts out by quoting a pasuk from Parshas Yisro, by Yisyatzu B'Sachte Sahari, which means that Bnei Yisro, they were standing underneath the mountain, underneath Har Sinai. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Avdimi Bar Chama Bar Chasam, Malami Chakafa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aleim Esahar Kegiges, Va'amar Lohem Im Atem Mekablim HaTorah Mutav, Ve'im Lav Shom Tehei Kvuraschem. Hashem basically threatened Bnei Yisrael and hung the mountain over their head and said, if you accept the Torah, then fine, but if not, you're gonna die. I'm going to drop the mountain over you and you're all going to be dead right now. So Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Mikan Muda Araba Le'oraisa. This would have been a great excuse for us. Meaning, let's say after a person dies and comes up to Shemayim and Hashem starts asking him, why didn't you follow my Torah and mitzvot? So it would have been very easy to say, because you forced us into it. You threatened us, right? That would have been a great out, a great excuse for us. However, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Acha Pichen Hadur Kiblu Abimei Achashverosh Dechsev Kimu VeKiblu HaYehudim Kimu Masha Kiblu Kfar. The Gemara says, but all of that changed during the Purim story. In the times of Achashverosh, the Gemara says, we re-accepted the Torah, we reaffirmed the Torah out of love. So even though initially the Torah was given to us against our will, but eventually we re-accepted it out of love. There's a lot written on this Gemara and why Hashem had to force the Torah upon us in the first place, but again, we're not going to get into all that because it's going to, you know, take us on a pretty long rabbit hole if we do. Okay.
Why did they feel compelled to interpret Tachti
As opposed to the foot of the mountain. Yeah. So that's probably the simple interpretation. But as often we see in the Gemara oftentimes will make homiletic, interpretations of Sukkim based on maybe why the pasuk decided to use this word instead of maybe tachasahar or tachtisah. You know what I'm saying? Like there are slight variations or nuances that the Sukkim could use that might have gotten the point across without the word tachtis. Maybe the Gemara is picking up on that slight nuance. Okay, so the Gemara continues along this theme. Amar Chizkiya, May dichsiv mishamayim hishmata din eretz yara v'shakata. Im yara lama shakata v'im shakata lama yara. The Gemara cites a pasuk from Tehillim that says that the heavens heard the din and the land was yara v'shakata. They were fearful and they were also tranquil. They also had a sense of tranquility. So the Gemara asks that those two terms, yara and shakata, seem to be diametrically opposed. Usually when you're afraid, you're usually not in a state of tranquility, and when you're in a state of tranquility, you're usually not afraid. So what does the pasuk in Tehillim mean? So the Gemara explains, Ela b'tchila yara ula v'sof shakata. It means that initially they were in a state of fear, and then ultimately they have accepted the Torah, or in other words, ultimately they were in a state of tranquility. V'lama yara, why was the world initially in a state of fear? Kidereish Lakish, the Amareish Lakish, Maidichsiv Vahiere Vahivoker Yom Hashishi, Hey Yisera Lamali. This is the famous question of Rashi and Chumash, and Parshas Bereishis quotes this Gemara. Why does the Pasuk in Parshas Bereishis say Yom Hashishi as opposed to all the other days of creation where it doesn't say Yom Hachamishi, Yom Harivi? So the Gemara explains, Melami Chehisna Kodesh Baruch Hu Emeisa Bereishis Vahomer Lahem, Im Yisrael Mekablim HaTorah Atem Miskaimin, Ve'im Lav Ani Machzir Eschem L'Sohu Vavo. Hashem made the existence of the world conditional upon the Jewish people accepting the Torah. If we were to accept the Torah, then Hashem says, I will allow the world to continue functioning. But if not, Hashem says, I'm going to revert the world back to nothingness. So when the Pasuk in Tehillim says the world was scared, it was scared because it didn't know whether Bnei Yisrael would ultimately accept the Torah. Okay. Darash Rabbi Simai, B'shal Shekdimu Yisrael Nase L'Nishma, Bo Shishim Ribo Shal Malachi Asharis L'chol Echad V'Echad Mi'Yisrael, Kashru Lo Shnek Sarim Echad K'negen Nase V'Echad K'negen Nishma, V'Chevan Shechatu Yisrael, Yardu Me'a V'Esrim Ribo Malachi Chavala U'Pirkom, Shenemar V'Yisnatzelu V'Nei Yisrael Es Edyom Me'har Choriv. The Gemara says that when B'Nei Yisrael said Nase before Nishma, there were 600,000 Malachim who came down and put two crowns on each of our heads, one crown for Nasa and one crown for Nishma. And then once we sinned by the Egel, so then 1.2 million Malachi Chavala, Malachim of Destruction, came down and removed those crowns. Amar Rabbi Chama b'Rabbi Chanina, Kida Amran, B'choreif Parku. I'm sorry, the Gemara says, B'choreif Toanu, B'choreif Parku, right? The Gemara says that in Chorev, again, Chorev refers to Har Sinai, so at Har Sinai we got the crowns, and at Har Sinai we lost the crowns, right? Chorev Tanu Kedamran, Chorev Parku Dichseva Yisnat Zalu V'nei Yisrael. That's what the Psukim say, right? It says that at B'nei Yisrael, at Har Sinai, B'nei Yisrael were divested of their crowns. They lost those crowns, right, that were initially given to them at the time of Matan Torah. Amrab Yochanan V'chulan Zacha Moshe U'netalan Dismich Le'u Moshe Yikach Es Ha'ohel. But Moshe was Zocha to take all of those crowns for himself, because the pasuk in Parshas Kisisa says Umoshe yikach es ha'ohel. Moshe took the tent, which the way that Rashi explains the word ohel in this context comes from the word in like a pasuk in Iov, bihilo neiro, meaning the crown, the glory. So Moshe basically took all of those crowns after we sinned. And Amar Reish Lakish Asir Hakadosh Baruch Hu lahachaziran lanu sheneemar ufduye Hashem yeshuvanu va'utzion berina v'simchas olam arusham simcha shemei olam arusham. So Reish Lakish says that in the future we're going to get those crowns back, that joy that we had from accepting the Torah is ultimately going to be returned to each and every Jew. Okay.
Rabbi, yeah. What's the symbolism of the crown?
I think, although I'm not, again, this is, I'm not 100% sure about this, but I think that the crowns are just a reflection of our commitment to the fact that we accepted the Torah without really knowing what was in it first. That was the whole idea of Nasa v'Nishma, right? The whole idea of accepting something without knowing about it, which we're going to talk more about.
Is that Malchus?
Well, I mean, it's not Malchus per se. I mean, I guess you can argue it's like Malchus in a certain way, meaning learning Torah makes a person, I guess, maybe into some sort of a royal stature spiritually. I don't know if I think the crowns are probably just more symbolic here than anything else. That's what I would imagine. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Elazar, b'shoshek dimu Yisrael nasa l'nishma." When Bnei Yisrael said nasa before nishma, yotzta baskol v'amar lehen, mi gila levanai rozze shavalachi asharis mishtam shemin bo, dichsiv baruchu Hashem malachav gibori choach osei dvaro l'shmoa b'kol dvaro, b'reisha osei v'hadar l'shmoa. A baskol, a heavenly voice came out and exclaimed, who taught my children this secret of saying Nasa before Nishma, this secret that the Malachim also employ? Because the Pasuk in Tehillim talks about how the Malachim are Osei Devaro, they do the word of Hashem, and then it says, Lishmoa b'kol Devaro, only then do they hear and try to understand, which is again the same kind of duality or dichotomy as we find by Nasa and Nishma. Okay, so Amar Rabbi Chama b'Rabbi Chanina. Now the Gemara is going to start to darshan some sukkim from Shir HaShirim. Mai dechsev kisapu Hayar. What does the pasuk in Shir HaShirim mean when it says, like an apple in the forest? Lama nimshulu Yisrael esapuach. Why are the Jewish people compared to an apple tree? So lomar lecha matapuach zepirio kodem la'alav, af Yisrael hikdimu nasa l'nishma. Just as an apple tree, the fruit of the tree precedes the leaves, so too B'nai Yisrael said nasa before nishma. Hahut Seduki the Chazi l'Rava the Kamayin b'Shmita the Yosva etzba'ase diyade tuse kara the Kamayitz b'hu the Kamivan etzba'ase dama. There was a certain Seduki, right, a person who didn't believe in Torah Shabbal Peh, who saw Rava learning Torah, and Rava was so engrossed in his learning that his finger was underneath him. It started to bleed, and Rava was not even aware of the fact that his finger was bleeding. So Amar Lei, so the Seduki said to Rava, Amma Peziza the Kadmisu Pumaihu Leonaihu Akati Befacha Zusaishu Kaimisu Beresha Iboilu Lemishma Imatisu Kablisu the Ilolo Kablisu. He turns to Rava and says, you guys, you know, Jewish people, even though he technically was Jewish also, but he says, you know, religious Jews who believe in the Torah Shabbal Peh, you guys, you've been doing the same thing for thousands of years. He says, you jumped into receiving the Torah without first thinking about it, without first understanding what was in it. You just jumped into it. So he says, you're still doing the same thing. You're sitting here, you're so engrossed in your Torah learning, and you have no idea what's going on around you. You don't realize that you're bleeding because you're so involved in your Torah learning. He says, you should have first figured out what it actually says in the Torah before you decided to go ahead and accept it. So Amar Lei, so how did Rava respond to him? He said, Anan disagnina bishli musa ksiv ban tumas yesharim tanchin. Hanach inshe disagon ba'alilusa ksiv behu viselif bogdim yeshadim. So Rava's response to this Tzaduki was, he says that, he cited a pasuk from Mishlei that says that about us, about the people who are shalem, who are, you know, bishlimas, who are whole in the way that they serve Hashem. The pasuk says tumas yesharim tanachim. That means that the way of the straight, the way of those who are righteous, right, is going to act as consolation. Meaning to say that our way is considered, you know, is considered to be the, you know, the is considered to be the proper way. But you guys who deny the Torah, v'selef bogdim yeshadim, means that the fools or the traitors are going to be divested and stripped of all of their glory and all of their possessions. So he says, basically, he turns back to this tzeduki and says that I accepted the Torah out of a sense of shlemus, and therefore I just relied on the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't give us something that we couldn't handle, because I had a certain sense of shlemus about myself, and that's why I was able to accept it. Okay. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar Rabbi Yonasan, my dechsev, again going back to the psukim from Shir Hashirim, libavtini achosi chala, libavtini ba'achas me'enayich, betchila ba'achas me'enayich, lecheshetasi b'shtei enayich. So this is again very similar to the idea of nasev and ishma that we keep on explaining here. This pasuk from Shir Hashirim, and again, as we know, many psukim in Shir Hashirim are very difficult to translate literally, because Chazal are very quick to point out that Shir Hashirim essentially is a metaphor between the love between Hashem and Bnei Yisrael. So many psukim in Shir Hashirim are written like very, very explicitly, or written in a way that would almost be reminiscent of like some kind of a romance novel almost. It's a very, very explicit language sometimes, but the psukim are typically explained metaphorically. So for example, the pasuk here says that my heart is in love with my bride, libaftini ba'achas me'inayich, with one eye. The Gemara interprets that pasuk to mean that initially we had one eye. In other words, initially our love was only with one eye. In other words, again, that's the idea of nas, of doing something without full comprehension. And only then were we able to fully invest. Once we actually started performing the mitzvos, were we able to be fully invested, like we said before. Amar Ula, aluva kala mezana besoch chupasa. Ula comments and says, look how much chutzpah Bnei Yisrael had to have. It's almost comparable to a kala, in other words, a woman who's getting married, who has an affair under the chuppah. Because that's essentially what Bnei Yisrael did. After receiving the Torah, after accepting HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being our God, we go off and worship the eagle. In other words, not long after. So it's almost the equivalent of a kala having an affair under the chuppah. What was the gap of time?
Moshe came down with the Aseret Tadibrot and broke them before.
Moshe broke the second luchos. Right, when he came down with the luchos. He saw Bnei Yisrael worshiping the Egel, and he broke those luchos, right? And then he went back up on Yom Kippur to receive the second set of luchos. So yeah, so the gap of time, again, I don't know exactly how long it was between Matan Torah and the Egel, but it definitely wasn't a long period of time. I don't think. As far as I recall, I don't think the psukim specified the amount of time between the two events, but it definitely was not. It was definitely within the year. That's for sure. It was within that initial year.
40 days.
Because they said Kibosheish Moshe. Kibosheish Moshe Laredes Minahar. But that was in the context of Moshe was going to receive the Torah. And then when they saw that he didn't come down, maybe it was the initial 40 days. Yeah, maybe was it. That sounds right. So yeah, so maybe if it's within even the first 40 days, the Gemara's point here is that it was so soon after Matan Torah that Bnei Yisrael basically threw everything away and worshipped the Egel, that it's just, in other words, the Gemara's not even making any, the Gemara's just like, almost like startled. The Gemara's like, how could this be? How could a Kala be Mizana, which is under the Chuppah? How could Bnei Yisrael worship the Egel right after they got the Torah? And the Gemara,
saying that Nasa, or maybe we don't know, Nasa and Nishma took place before Moshe received the Aseret Dibros?
Well, I mean, the Aseret Dibros are kind of like the microcosm of the Torah in general. So Moshe receiving the Aseret Dibros and Moshe receiving the Torah as a whole were kind of almost like simultaneous events in a sense. Meaning, you're right, when Moshe comes down with the Luchos, so the Bnei Yisrael are worshipping the Egel, right? But at the same time, they also received the Torah in general before that point, right? In other words, Bnei Yisrael were given... What was that?
Well,
no. I mean, Mara is different. Mara Bnei Yisrael got certain mitzvos, right? They got Shabbos, they got maybe Kibbutz Av Aim, Parah Aduma. They got a few mitzvos at Mara, but they weren't given the entire Torah at Mara. the entire Torah was given to them at Har Sinai, and then when Moshe comes down with the Luchos, so he sees Bnei Yisrael worshiping the Egel. So at that point, right, we assume that that's when Bnei Yisrael essentially threw everything away. That's what Ula is basically saying here, that, you know, it's almost impossible to wrap your head around how could a nation that just received the Torah do something like this. Okay, and the Gemara, in fact, supports this idea. Amar Rav Mari Berad Vashmuel, my krad shehamelech bim sibo nirdi, Amar Rav va'adayin chavivusa higaban, dechsiv nasan velo ksiv hisriach. The Gemara is commenting on, again, the pasuk in the beginning of Shir HaShirim, which says, ad shehamelech bim sibo nirdi nasan reicho. That as long as the king is still in the garden, nirdi nasan reicho, my smell is nasan reicho. The nerd, which is a certain kind of a spice, is nasan reicho. It still gives off its flavor, its smell. So the Gemara says, the fact that the pasuk says nasan reicho, that it gives off smell, and not hisriach reicho, the smell has gone bad or gone pungent, it implies that despite our shortcomings, despite our sins, Hashem still loves us. Hashem still wants a connection with us, despite the fact that we worship the Egel pretty much right after we got the Torah. Okay, the Gemara continues. Tana Rabbanan, aluvin ve'enan olvin, shomin cherpasan ve'enan meshivin, osin me'ahava usmechin be'isurin, alein akasuv omer ve'ohavav kitzeis Hashemesh bigvura so. The Gemara is commenting about those types of people who are basically, other people will embarrass them, but they don't respond. They hear, you know, in other words, people shame them, and they don't respond to that shame. They only serve Hashem out of love, and they rejoice in any pain and any suffering that Hashem inflicts upon them. The Gemara says that type of a person on that type of level, the Pasuk in Sefer Shoftim says about such a person that those who love Hashem are like the sun when it comes out at its full strength. Meaning those are the types of people, the people who don't respond when they're embarrassed, the people who are content with their lives, the people who despite all the suffering, they still love Hashem, are the types of people that are the most closely connected to Hashem, who are described as those who love Hashem. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, my dichsiv, Hashem yiten omer ha-mevaseros tzavarav. What does the pasuk mean in Tehillim? It says that Hashem spoke, and then there were these multitudes of armies of people. So the Gemara says, kol dibur v'dibur sheyatza mipi ha-gvura nechlak l'shivim l'shonos. Every speech, every utterance that came out of Hashem's mouth was divided into 70 languages. We know already from Parshas Kisavo, for example, that Moshe interpreted the Torah into 70 languages, but here the Gemara is saying something slightly different, that every speech that Hashem uttered was essentially almost like translated in a way into 70 different languages. Tani Devei Rabbi Yishmael, Uchfatish Yefotzeitz Sela. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk from Sefer Yirmiyahu that says that it's like a hammer that's smashing against a rock. So the Gemara says, "Ma patish zeh nechlak lechama nitzotos, av kol dibur v'dibur sheyatza mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu nechlak l'shivim l'shonos." Just as when a hammer smashes against a rock, there are sparks that fly everywhere, so too, every utterance, every word, every sentence that Hashem uttered was interpreted or divided up into 70 languages. Now again, this number 70 languages, we see this phrase in the Gemara many, many times in different contexts. We know in the world today that there are almost 7,000 languages in the world today, but again, usually, I don't know if there were 70 languages back then. It's very possible that, you know, that at the time there were only 70 languages in the known world, but usually in the Gemara, numbers like 70 are typically exaggerations. They're usually used for a more dramatic effect. So it's possible that there were 70 languages, but it's also possible that there were more than that. So again, I don't know exactly how many languages were around at the time, but the point is the Gemara is basically saying that everything that Hashem uttered was translated into multiple languages. Amar Rav Chananel bar Papa, my dichsev, the pasuk, what does the pasuk in Mishlei mean when it says, Shim'u ki nigidim adaber? Here, for the nigidim either mean like the officers or the princes or the kings, for the princes or the kings are speaking. Lama nimshalu divrei Torah kenagid? Why are the words of Torah compared to a king? Lomar lecha ma nagid ze yeshba ulohamis ulhachayos, af divrei Torah yeshba ulohamis ulhachayos. Just as a king or an officer has the ability to decide who lives and who dies, so too the Torah also has that ability to decide who lives and who dies. What does that mean? Haynu de Amar Rava, lemayminin ba sama de chaye, lemasmi'ilin ba sama de mosa. Rava says that those who make the Torah to their right, they will live. If you make the Torah to the left, then you will not live. What exactly does that mean? So the way that Rashi explains this is that those who make the Torah to the right is basically just another way of saying people who learn Torah with their full force. They put in all of their amelos, all of their effort into learning Torah, whereas the left is an allusion to those who don't. Others say that maybe it's an allusion to learning Torah lishma versus learning Torah shalo lishma. Basically, it's just another way of saying those who learn Torah the right way versus those who do not learn Torah the right way, essentially. If you learn Torah the right way, whatever that means, then Torah will act as like a drug of life for you. It'll give you life. It'll be like an elixir of life. If you don't learn Torah the right way, then it could actually be harmful. And then the Gemara offers an alternate pshat. Davar acher negidim kol dibur v'dibur sheyatzem mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu kosherin lo shnei ksarim. That maybe the reference to negidim, why the pasuk in Mishlei refers to the Torah as a king or a prince, is because, again, alluding to the Gemara we had back on the previous Amud, the idea that the Malachim tied those two crowns on our heads after we said Naaseh v'nishma. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, my dichsev, another pasuk from Shir HaShirim, Siror Hamor Dodi Li Ben Shaddai Olin. The pasuk says that the clusters of mor, right, mor is a certain kind of an herb, a spice, are beloved to me, and they rest between my breasts, between the bosom. So Amar Knesi Sisrael Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shalom. So Bnei Yisrael Seita HaShem, Afa Pi Shemeitzar Umeimar Li Dodi Ben Shaddai Olin. Despite all of the trouble and the distress and the bitterness we've caused you by all of the averos that we've ever done, Hashem still feels that we are almost resting in His bosom. Hashem still feels an intimate connection with us. Then the pasuk continues in Shir HaShirim. It says, "Eshkol haKofer Dodi Li b'Charmei En Gedi." The cluster of Kofer, Kofer is henna, a certain kind of a spice or herb, right? Is also beloved to me in the vineyards of En Gedi. So the Gemara interprets this pasuk to mean, "Misha haKol Shelo." That the one to whom everything belongs, namely Hashem, should forgive me or forgive us for the sin of the Gedi, of the Egel, right? Shekaramtili, that we gather towards, that we, in other words, that we, you know, we gather towards this Egel to worship. The Gemara just wants to know, Gemara just has a technical question here. My mashma dahai karmi lishna de machnishu. How do we know the word karmi, or in this case, the word bicharme in Gedi, the word karmi means to gather? So Amar Marzutra Bered Rav Nachman Kiddusna, the Mishnah in Meseches Kelim tells us Kisei Shal Koves Shekormim Alaves Akelim. The Mishnah in Meseches Kelim is describing the status of Tuma of a launderer's chair, a chair that was used by a launderer to store and gather clothing on, whether such a chair is Makabal Tuma. So you see from that Mishnah the word Kormim or the word Karmi means to gather in. Okay. V'amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, ma'idich sev, another pasuk from Shir HaShirim, l'chayav karugas habosem, like your cheeks, like your jaws, is the garden of spices. So the Gemara says, kol dibur v'dibur sheyatza mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nismalei kol ha'ulam kulo b'samim. Every time Hashem uttered something, the whole world was filled with this fragrant aroma of spices. So the Gemara asks, v'cheven shemi dibur risho nismalei dibur sheni leheichan halach. But if Hashem's first utterance filled the world with this fragrant aroma, then what happened after that? If the whole world was already smelling good from Hashem's first utterance, then what was added on all the subsequent things that Hashem said? So the Gemara says, "Hotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu haruach meotzrosav, v'hayamavir rishon rishon sheneemar sif sosav shoshanim no tefos mor over al tikre shoshanim ela sheshonim." Basically, Hashem set it up in such a way where he would kind of take only a little bit of the aroma, a little bit of the besamim out of his warehouse with each utterance, to such a point where after he said everything he wanted to say, the world was then filled up with spices, even though in theory, after every time Hashem speaks, there should be an aroma wafting all over the world, but Hashem kind of restrained himself or restrained that aroma to make it that there would only be a little bit of the aroma given out each time he spoke, and then eventually at the end, the whole world would be filled up. The Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, kol dibur v'dibur sheyatza mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yatzta nishmasan shel Yisrael, sheneemar nafshi yatza avidabero. Every time Hashem spoke, and we know this more famously from the Aseret HaDibros, Bnei Yisrael died after they heard Hashem speak directly. Ume'achar shemi dibur rishon yatzta nishmasan dibur sheni heich kiblu. So, If Bnei Yisrael all died after they heard Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the first of the Dibros, how do they then hear the second Dibra from Hashem if they were all dead? So the Gemara says, Horid Tal She'ased L'Hachayos Bomisim V'Hachaya Osam Shenamar Geshem Nidavos Tanif Elokim Nachalas Secha V'Nile Atachonanta. Hashem brought down the dew that he will use in the future in Tchias HaMisim to resurrect the dead. He used that dew to bring Bnei Yisrael back to life so they could then hear the second Dibra. The Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi called Dibur v'Dibur Shiyatza Mipia Kadosh Baruch Hu Chazru Yisrael Achorein Yud Beis Mil Vayu Malachi Asher Yismedadin Osan Shneamar Malachi Tziv Akosi Yedodun Yedodun Al Tikre Yedodun Ela Yedadun. Every time Hashem spoke, Bnei Yisrael were startled. They were frightened. They jumped backwards 12 mil. They were so scared of the presence of Hashem, and the Malachim had to kind of push them back in slowly and gently to get us back into the mode of hearing things from Hashem. Okay, now we have probably one of the more famous Gemaras, or segueing into one of the more famous Gemaras in this whole topic. The Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, B'shash ala Moshe l'amara, when Moshe goes up to Har Sinai, Amru malachi asharis lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono shel Olam, Mali Elodisha beinenu, right? The Malachim say to Hashem, what is this human being doing here? Amar lehen, so Hashem says, L'kabel Torah, but he's here to receive the Torah. Amru lefanav chamuda genuza, shegenuza lecha chamios v'shivim v'arba doros kodem shenivra ha'olam, ata mevakish lina levasar v'dam, ma enosh ki siskerenu, ven adam ki sifkedenu, Hashem adunenu, ma adir shimcha b'chol aretz, asher tenohu d'chal ha'shamayim. The Malachim start arguing. They say, what is this human being? What is he worth? Why does he deserve to have the Torah? Keep the Torah here in Shemayim where it belongs. So Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, so Hashem responds, he says to Moshe, Hechzer lohen tshuva. He says to Moshe, I want you to respond to the Malachim. I want you to, I want you to fight back with them. So Amar lefanav Ribono shel Olam, Misyarei ani shema yisrifuni behevel shebefiyim. He says, if I respond to them, maybe I'm going to get burned up by the fire of their mouth. So Amar lo Hashem says this. He says, don't worry about it. Echoz b'chisei chvodi v'chazor lohen tshuva. Shene mar ma'achiz p'nei chisei parshez alav anono. Right? Hashem says, don't worrey about it. Grab onto my kisei hakavod, and then you'll be protected from the fire in their mouth. Fine. And the Gemara explains, V'amar Rabbi Nachum, Malamin, Shepirish, Shakai, Miziv, Shchinasova, Anano Allah. You see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheltered Moshe and protected him from the fire, from the onslaught of the Malachim. Okay, so what exactly did Moshe respond? Amar lefan of Ribono Shalolam, Torah Sha'ata no Sinli, Maksiv, but what does it say in the Torah that you're giving to me? It says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Otzei Sicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim. Right? I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of Mitzrayim. Amar lehem leMitzrayim biratem lefaro hishtabatem Torah lama tehilachem. Right, so Moshe says to the Malachim, you guys never went down to Mitzrayim, you guys were never enslaved by Paro. What do you need the Torah for? So then Gemara continues, Shuv Maksim. But what else does it say? It says Lo yelacha Elohim achirim beinamim atem shiruim sheovden avodas gilulim. It says, do you guys live amongst the nations of the world where you're going to be tempted to worship idols? You're angels, you're Malachim, you don't have any of those temptations. Shuv Maksim. But what else does it say? It says Zocheres Yom Hashabbos Lekadsho. Klumatim osim malacha shatim tzrichim shavus. Right? He says again, keeping Shabbos is not a thing for malachim. They don't do malacha ever. Shuv Maksiv, but it says lo sisa maso matan yishpachem. Right. The Torah says don't swear falsely in Hashem's name. Okay, do you guys engage in business engage in business where you have to use Hashem's name, where you have to swear about a certain business dealing? He says shuv Maksiv, but it says kabeda savicha v'yasimecha. Ave em yishpachem. Do you guys have parents to even have the mitzvah of kibud ave em be relevant to you? Shuv Maksiv, but lo sirtzach, lo sinaf, lo signov. Kina yishpachem, yitzharah yishpinechem. So he says what? He says what? Do you guys have jealousy? Do you guys have a yitzharah? Like you have these desires for murder, for adultery, for stealing? It says none of these things are relevant to you. So what happened? Miyad hodulol hakadosh baruch hu shenemar Hashem adoneinu ma'adir shimcha ve'ilu tenahu dechal hashemayim loksiv. They admitted to Hashem. They said, Moshe's right. He deserves to have the Torah. Miyad kol echad v'yechad nasalo oivu masar lo davar. So then each person became buddy with Moshe. They became like Moshe's friend, and they each gave Moshe something. Shenemar alisa lamarom shavisa shevi lakachta matanos ba'adam. Because I called them Adam, because I convinced them that we deserve, that people deserve the Torah, they gave me these gifts. And the Gemara says, Af malach hamavis malach lo davar, shene'emar v'yitena sa'ketoros v'ychaper el ha'am, v'ychaper el ha'am, v'omer v'yamur ben ha'misim v'vein ha'chayim, yilav d'omer le'mi ha'v'yoda. The fact that Moshe knew that the ketores was the thing that would stop the magifa, that would stop the plague at the end of Parshas Balak, in the beginning of Parshas Pinchas, that was a secret that he had learned from the malach hamavis. HaMavis. So even the Malach HaMavis gave him some kind of a special gift. I'll just end off with one Ha'ara, one point in this Gemara, which is the question that the Radvaz asks. The Radvaz in a tshuva was asked whether one is allowed to write nekudos in a Sefer Torah, or more precisely, what would the issue be if you wrote nekudos in a Torah? So he quotes our Gemara that we just quoted, and he asks a very obvious question on the Gemara. Like, what were the Malachim thinking here? Like, the Malachim thought they had, they thought they had a Yitzhara, they thought they had parents, they thought they had to keep Shabbos. Like, why did the Malachim even think, why was it even a Havamina that the Malachim needed the Torah in the first place? So the Radvaz explains, because the Torah that the Malachim had was a more spiritual form of the Torah. The Ramban, in his introduction to Chumash, says that the entire Torah is really one long name of Hashem. So and the Torah that we have today is kind of, parsed up into individual psukim that we can understand. So he says the Malachim were convinced that it was more important for them to have this spiritual version of the Torah as opposed to the physical version, and Moshe convinced them otherwise. So the Radvaz says that if a person writes Nekudos in a Sefer Torah, what you're doing is you're essentially limiting the Torah to only our way of looking at it. You're not allowing it to be read and interpreted in the more spiritual version of the Malachim. So he says that's the going on in this Gemara. The Malachim were convinced that their interpretation of the Torah, or their version of the Torah, so to speak, was more significant than our version. Moshe had to convince them otherwise. Okay, so we'll stop here.